Good morning, y'all. How's it going? Awesome. So, I am Jada Hannah, as Pastor Lori said, and I am the youth pastor and volunteer coordinator here at E3. So, if you do any volunteering with our hospitality ministries, you've probably gotten an email from me. I'm also the youth pastor, as I said, and I know I've got a gaggle of youth sitting on the back row, of course. So, hey, guys, I will call you out if you're on your phone. So, with that being said, I am very grateful for the opportunity to be here today. And Pastor Mike and Pastor Lori and Pastor Scott came to me when I started here, and they were like, hey, like, would preaching be something you would want to do one day? And I was like, I don't know about all that. And then, so as they've coached me through, okay, do you want to do this? Is this what you feel like you're called to do? And so I was like, okay, yeah, I'll try it. So I'm thinking, I'm praying, like, God, what do you want me to preach on? We're not in a series. They didn't give me something to preach on. They said, say whatever you want. And that's terrifying for everyone involved. So I was thinking, and I was reading in Acts, and there's this encounter with the disciples, and they encounter something that they don't know. And I was like, that sounds familiar. So in life, often we encounter things that are unknown, things that take us out of our everyday routine. They might even send a shock through our nervous system. When we face these unprecedented situations, there are a few options for how our body and mind will react. Fight, flight, and freeze are commonly recognized responses in these situations. So in case you aren't familiar with what those mean, I'll do a real quick explainer. So fight is my go-to. It prepares your body and your mind to fight and protect yourself in whatever situation you're in. Flight is the response that tells the body to get out of there. There's danger, we gotta go. Then there's freeze. I'm also very familiar with this one, and it's the subject of our sermon today. It causes the body to, well, freeze. It's kind of self-explanatory. Maybe if I'm still enough, I can avoid the threat. One freeze situation that I found myself in happened in my senior year of high school. Often I would spend the night at my best friend's house, and it was surrounded by a few acres of woods. Her mom told us stories about these things in the woods called the Ooga Boogas. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I have personally never seen an Ooga Booga up close. That did not stop me from being absolutely terrified of these things. She told us, teenage girls, that we had to look out for them because they had long claws, longer than our arms. They had 5 red eyes and could see in the dark, and they could run faster than a cheetah. And said they only lived in our woods, and we had to look out for them at night. I think she was probably just trying to stop us from sneaking out. So, every time we spent the night, as teenage girls do, we would stay up late. And we would watch movies or talk with her mom. One night, I was staying the night, and it was about 1 or 2 in the morning, and at the time, my best friend lived in the guest house across the property from her parents' house. We're walking across, and we hear this hissing sound. My first thought was, the Ooga Boogas are coming for us! And I froze. Thankfully, my best friend had better reflexes than I did, and she ran to go get her dad. By the time I unfroze and made it to the porch, we realized it was not an Ooga Booga. It was a possum who had gotten into a fight with their dog. Cute, right? Wrong. They're terrifying creatures. And if you see them in size comparison with her dog, which was a dachshund, should be, see, which one of these guys are you betting on in a fight? Probably not the dog. So, thankfully, my best friend went to go grab her dad, and he came and scared the possum away, and the dog was safe, all you dog lovers out there. And I was not consumed by a terrifying cryptid in my best friend's backyard. There was no real danger for us, even if there might have been for some small animals. But in that moment, I encountered something that I wasn't familiar with, and I froze. Sometimes, the things that make us freeze are silly, like the ooga boogas in my imagination. But sometimes they're really serious. Maybe you have experienced the death of a dream, pain from a divorce, fractured relationships, financial hardships, or the death of a loved one. These things and many others can stop us in our tracks and leave us feeling disconnected not only from ourselves, but from our Creator. In these moments, we often find ourselves standing and staring into heaven, asking, God, where have you gone? I want you to know that you are not alone in what you have felt. Today, we will look at encountering the unknown and how to deal with it. I'm going to frame it as a three-step process and title it, What to Do When You Have No Idea What You're Doing. We will start by taking a look at a passage in Acts. Last week, we celebrated Easter. We spoke about Jesus being crucified and raising from the dead in order to save us from our sins. Acts is kind of like the sequel to that. It's thought to be written by the same author who wrote the book of Luke. It tells the story of how the message of Jesus spread out from those first disciples who followed him before and after his death and resurrection to the whole of the known world. The first part of Acts picks up where the end of Luke left off. Jesus has risen and shown himself to his disciples, and now it's time for him to take his place in heaven. There's a story right at the beginning of Acts where the disciples were left frozen by an unprecedented experience. The disciples, have you guys ever heard of them? They were these famous followers of Jesus that we hear stories about in E3 Kids, and they were very devoted, like to the point that a lot of them ended up dying for their faith. Peter was called the rock that the church was built on. John was called the beloved of Jesus. These guys were Jesus's best friends. There's a lot to admire about the disciples, but don't forget, they were human too. They too were programmed with this innate fight, flight, or freeze response. Acts 1:9-11 says, after he said this, he was taken up as they were watching, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, they were gazing into heaven, and suddenly two men in white clothes stood by them. They said, men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into heaven? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come in the same way that you have seen him going into heaven. These men who had been with Jesus for 3 years had been given instructions by Jesus on what to do when he left. Yet here they were, staring into the sky. You would think that one of them might have taken it upon himself to rally the troops, probably Peter, and said, come on, let's go, guys. But no, they just stood and stared. Then come these men, dressed in white, messengers of the Lord, saying, what are you guys doing? The disciples were so transfixed, staring into a blank sky, that they didn't even realize these two men had joined them until they spoke. Men of Galilee, what are you doing? Why are you standing there? You have your marching orders, now go. Why in the world were the disciples so confused? I'm going to take a look a little further back in this passage to add some context for why they might have been so frozen in this moment. Acts 1:6-7 says, then they gathered around him and asked, Lord, are you restoring the kingdom to Israel at this time? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. The disciples, like many people of their culture, had this idea of what the Messiah would be like when they came. In the time that they lived, they were being oppressed by Rome and desperately longed for freedom. If you guys were in their situation and you're oppressed by this military power and you're waiting for the Messiah who's going to come save your people, what kind of qualities might you be looking for? Strong. Strength. Warrior. Yeah. So Rome primarily used the military to oppress the Jewish people. So in their minds, the Messiah was going to come in with military power and break the chains of Roman rule. This is why the disciples ask about the kingdom being restored. They thought that Jesus would come to restore the earthly kingdom of Israel through his might and power. Now, don't get me wrong, guys. Jesus is the King of Kings, and he is all powerful, and he absolutely had the ability to restore Israel in this way. But that's not the way that he chose to turn the world upside down. He was not here to reestablish the kingdom of Israel. No, he came to establish a new kingdom that would be a new kind of kingdom, one where the first are last, the last are first, and grace and forgiveness is offered to all. One where the widow and orphan are not to be cast aside, but to be cherished, and the poor in spirit are raised up. Even though the disciples had spent 3 years at the literal feet of Jesus, listening to his teachings, they still didn't get it. They had not made the mindset switch that was necessary to understand the upside-down kingdom of God. Often, when we are frozen by a situation, it is because we have a fundamental misunderstanding of what is happening. Like the disciples, we lack the necessary perspective to understand what's really going on. When I encountered the possum, I didn't know that's what it was because I had a flawed mindset. Obviously, ooga boogas aren't real, but I didn't quite process that in my mind at the time. Another more serious time in my life that I was frozen was when my dad died. I was a sophomore in college, and about 4 months prior to his death, due to relational issues caused by his addiction, I had cut all contact with him. When I found out that he had passed away, I was gutted. I had messed it all up. I was a failure. I had done it all wrong. It was somehow my fault that he wouldn't give up his addictions, and so it was my fault that he died. That semester, I became a shell of a person. I shuffled from place to place and plastered on a smile that never quite reached my eyes. Has anybody been there? I went to work. I came home. I ate. I slept. I skipped class, or I slept through it with my camera off on Zoom. I failed all 6 classes I was enrolled in. I was embarrassed. I didn't tell my family anything that was going on. All of this chaos in my life because I had a fundamentally flawed mindset around the death of my father. I know now that it wasn't my fault at all. At the end of the day, he was responsible for his actions. But it took changing this mindset for me to stop shuffling around and actually move forward in life. So, step one of what to do when you have no idea what you're doing. Shift your mindset. When we shift our mindset to be in line with reality, something powerful happens. We're able to become unstuck. We can thaw out, become unfrozen. The disciples had to rewire the way that they thought about the kingdom. One of the misconceptions that they had was that the kingdom was going to be restored by human power. As humans, we don't recognize humility as powerful. Yet, Jesus changed the world by humbling himself to the point of death on a cross. The disciples had to realize, as we also do today, that the strength they needed to spread the good news did not come by the work of their own hands, but by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1:4, Jesus told them that before they were to go out and share the gospel, they were to wait in Jerusalem to receive the Holy Spirit. Later, in verse 8, he tells them what the result of receiving the Holy Spirit will be. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus was telling them that they couldn't do it alone, and the same message applies to us today. Have you ever plugged in your phone or maybe your laptop and left it to charge, only to come back a few hours later and find that it hasn't charged at all and maybe it even died? Yeah. So what happened there? Maybe it wasn't plugged in all the way. Maybe there's a break in the cord or your breaker flipped and you didn't realize your power was out. Whatever the reason for the disconnect, the result is the same. Your phone isn't charged and it doesn't have the power necessary to do what you're asking it to do. This is often what happens in our lives. We disconnect from the source of power, from God, when we face unknown things, when what we should be doing is plugging in even more. This power that Jesus speaks of was not only available to the first century disciples, but to you and me today. This is step two of what to do when you have no idea what you're doing. Rely on God. I'm so sorry, y'all. Yeah. Sorry, I'm not going to be able to talk. Thank you. There's a second rapper. I'm sorry. Okay, cool. Step two of what to do when you have no idea what you're doing. Apparently you need a cough drop for this one. Rely on God. When we realize we can't do it on our own is when we truly understand that we must rely on the Lord. This is a lot harder than it sounds. In our Western individualized culture specifically, we've been so ingrained with this pull yourself up by the bootstraps mentality. One second. Much better. But we've gotten it all wrong. Whatever the unknown thing that you are facing or will face, you cannot do it alone. If you try, you will exhaust yourself trying to muscle through something that is outside of your strength, or you'll just stay frozen. We've all heard the pithy saying, God won't give you more than you can handle. This is unequivocally false. Just ask Job. In this life, you will face many, many things that you cannot handle. And that's okay, because it's not your place to. What is your place is to rely on the Holy Spirit within you to show you your next steps. Jesus never, ever told us this life would be easy. And anybody who says he did is spreading a false gospel. Jesus tells us in John 16:33, I have told you these things so that you may have peace in me. In this world, you are going to have suffering, but be courageous. I have overcome the world. It's the whole point, guys. We have to learn to rely on his strength and not our own if we have any hope of making it through the devastating things that cross our paths. Often, we are incapable of reaching this understanding until we get to the end of our rope. Or, if you're stubborn like me, you might even wait to give up control until that last thread has snapped and it feels like you're free falling into an abyss. There's a really great quote from Richard Rohr that describes the situation well. It says, until you bottom out and come to the limits of your own fuel supply, there is no reason for you to switch to a higher octane of fuel. For that is what is happening. Why would you? You will not learn to actively draw upon a larger source until your usual sources are depleted and revealed as wanting. In fact, you will not even know that there is a larger source until your own sources and resources fail you. Until and unless there is a person, situation, event, idea, conflict, or relationship that you cannot manage, you will never find the true manager. This concept of relying on God is something the disciples had to wrap their heads around, just as we do today. Jesus in no way told them, go be charismatic and win the hearts of people so you can trick them into following me, or go show people how healthy and wealthy you are so they want what you have. No, he told them that they would receive power from the Holy Spirit. Not from their own efforts, but from the very same source that created and sustains our world today. And I don't know about y'all, but that is such a source of freedom for me. Jesus told the disciples to go be his witnesses. That's all they had to do. Go tell people about who Jesus is and what they saw when they were with him. That's it. They just had to be a witness to something greater than themselves. And y'all, that is good news if I have ever heard it. So often, we vie for control in every single situation we find ourselves in and just completely exhaust ourselves. As a self-proclaimed control freak, I know this firsthand. If I find myself being just absolutely worn out at the end of every day, I can almost guarantee there's at least one situation I'm trying to control that I have no business being in charge of. That's the freedom that we can find in Jesus, though. because he is in control, we don't have to be. We can rely on his strength and not our own. Sorry, y'all. So before we move on to step three, let's recap. So step one, you've shifted your mindset to be in line with reality. Step two, you're learning to rely on God for your strength and not your own. That leaves us with the third and final step. You've got to move. The disciples were told to wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit, and then what? Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. They couldn't just continue to stay right where they were in their comfort zone. They had to go out and spread the good news with those in... Sorry, my throat is like being weird. They had to go out and spread the good news. We still have the same command today. As you're going throughout your life, you are called to share the good news with those in your community, city, state, and to the ends of the earth. This command from Jesus is the exact reason that we do local and global missions at E3, to share the gospel with the hurting everywhere, from Tallahassee to Florida, all the way to Guatemala, Haiti, and Uganda. In our personal catastrophes, this means we must take the next right step as prompted by the leading of the Holy Spirit who indwells every believer. I can't tell you what the next right step is for you because I'm not in your situation. But what I can tell you is that our God has not failed and he won't. He is trustworthy and faithful to lead you in the right direction if you rely on him. But in order for you to be led in a direction, you've got to be moving to begin with. As the band comes out to lead our closing song, and as you go throughout the week, I want you to think about unknown situations that you may be dealing with. Try to identify the misunderstandings that may be present and reflect on whether you are truly relying on God. Then move.